Hello, I'm Tom Moen, and today I'm beginning an old and yet continuing adventure. In 1968, my family and I returned to Tulsa, where I became the general manager of KORU-FM and Oral Roberts, radio announcer. At that time, from 1968 until March of 71, I had a daily program entitled Good Morning, Brother Pilgrim. And now, after 50 years, I'm resurrecting it with a new title, Good Morning, Fellow Pilgrim. And a pilgrim is a person who's on a journey, and in this case, a journey of the kingdom of God on earth as Jesus prayed. So I hope you'll join me as we look into the past, the present, and the future.
This is the Good Morning, Fellow Pilgrim podcast with Tom Moen for October 5th, 2018.
Well, once again, good morning, fellow pilgrim. It's such a delight to come. As we finished the last podcast and we're talking about rest and such, my magnificent young son said to me, you know, do you remember a friend of ours preached on Noah and that Noah's name means rest? In the midst of all he had to do in that ark, in the building of it, when it finally rained and he had to take care of the animals. But Noah was at rest. Now, I'd like to say, in connection with my last podcast, that's the rest I'm speaking of. The rest in the midst of the work that God gives us to do. The life he calls us to. That of God. So, thanks, Matt. He said that's okay. I want to turn to something that is a portion of Scripture that has absolutely blessed me so many times over the years. And I'm going to pick it up in verse 1 of John chapter 13. And if you know anything about the chapters from 13 through 17, is the history of the last days, or we really don't know how many days it is, 2 days, 3 days, 1 day, with Jesus and his disciples as he prepares them for what he knows is going to happen, Gethsemane, and I'm going to read on that in a moment. So I'd like to begin in verse 1 of John 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And during supper, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself about. I don't know if I'm just an emotional wreck at times, but every time I read that, and I realize that when I've read the first chapter of the Gospel of John, and I know that the Word of God is Jesus, and that Jesus is the Creator, and then I read this, and after supper, he laid aside his garments and, taking a towel, girded himself about. And he begins to wash his creation's feet. The great Creator girds himself with a towel, kneels down before his creations, and begins to wash their feet. That just, sometimes I can't even get to the next verse. 5. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And so he came to Simon Peter and he said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, What I do, you do not realize now, but you shall understand hereafter. And Peter said to him, Never shall you wash my feet. Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." And then Simon Peter said to the Lord, sorry, you know the way Simon is, "Lord, not only my feet, but my hands and my head." And Jesus says, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew the one who was betraying him, and for this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." Now the foot washing was part of that culture, and I'm going to come back to that cultural thing in a few moments. But washing of feet was very much a very humbling thing that the servants did when you walked into someone's house. Sometimes the person walking into the house never even saw the servant or the servant's face. They would be talking to the owner of the house, the place that they're coming to, while their feet are being washed. And Peter, just out of his humanity and out of his lostness in that sense, he says, "You're not going to wash me." In other words, he's telling Jesus what to do. And Jesus said, "You don't understand this. Later, you're going to get it." And we know that he does. But there's something that's similar between Peter and Judas that I just want to make a remark about for just a moment. I had a friend said that he thought that their personalities were similar in that they were headstrong and, boy, they knew how to do things. It's Judas who gets upset when Mary pours out the alabaster flask on Jesus' feet. He says, "Wait a bit, that could have been sold and given to the poor." His idea, he didn't care about the poor, but he took care of the money of the group. And he said there was a kind of arrogance in Judas. There was also that arrogance in Peter. And later, when the cock crows three times and he realizes he's betrayed the Lord, when he promised never would he betray the Lord, it said that he goes out and he weeps bitterly and he repents and he comes back and the Lord is able to use him. Judas never repents, but goes out and hangs himself. There's much more in that. Maybe at another time we'll talk about it. But let's go on now in the 13th chapter. Now when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, neither is the one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you're blessed if you do them. I do not speak to all of you, or of all of you, rather. I know the ones I've chosen, but it is that the scripture might be fulfilled. Quote, he who says, eats my bread, rather, has lifted up his feet or his heel against me. From now on, I'm telling you before it comes to pass, so that when it does occur, you may believe that I am life, and I am he. And truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me." I would like to suggest, just a suggestion, in the culture I mentioned earlier, they washed feet as they went into house. The slaves usually did it, the lowest people in the homes. Well, what in our culture would be similar to foot washing? I can recall having been to a foot washing meeting where everybody made sure their feet were clean before they got to the foot washing ceremony. I think they had a idea they wanted to enter into this somehow. But I think that foot washing in our culture and time may, and I underscore may, be more like this. Do you know of someone who may be sick or infirmed and isn't able to clean their house? or wash their dishes, or wash their clothes, or get their car maintained, or their lawn mowed, or go to the store for them, or do whatever you can to serve them. That's what Jesus is after. He's not wanting to start us in some sort of a foot-washing ceremony that we do, because all that will turn into, this is my view, forgive me, is religion. Something that I do that shows how wonderful I am. I will wash your feet. Well, wash your feet means doing something for people, laying down your life, taking the lowest place. I want to read from Matthew 26, when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and I want you to hear the cry that rises from his heart. And I'm going to pick it up in Matthew 26. Yes, beginning in verse 37. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Remember when we read from John that Jesus knew the Passover was coming and he was going to return to his Father. He knew he had come from him. And he's distressed and grieved. Now remember, he's a man. He's not Son of God in that sense now. He is thoroughly, completely a man. And he says, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. And he went on a little beyond them, fell on his face and prayed, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, so you men could not keep with me or watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away a second time and prayed, Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, thy will be done. And again he came and found them sleeping and their eyes were weary. And he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. And then he came to the disciples and said, are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Arise, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand. I've often read this, and I've often looked, and I asked, if this is the feast of the Passover, what was the Passover? Remember the Passover in ancient Egypt? When they killed the lamb, put the blood on the doorpost, the angel of death came. When he saw the blood, he passed over the house. They celebrated the Passover feast. Jesus is now coming to the Passover feast. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's grieving. I would like to suggest that this is why. Bear with me. Jesus looked into the cup that the Father was handing him. And what does he see in that cup? He sees blood. Does he see the blood of a lamb or a goat? No, he sees his own blood. But mingled with his own blood is the sin of the world, capital S. And he knows if he drinks it, he will become sin incarnate, the greatest sinner the world will ever know. No wonder he's grieving. No wonder he's praying three times, Father, can you really mean this? Gee, Abraham, when he offered up his son, there was a ram in the bramble, and you got him, and they offered him, is there a ram for me, Father? And Father saying, son, you're it. And Jesus drinks the cup. And in that process, takes the sin of the world. This is where salvation and Gethsemane and Calvary all begin to run together. This is where the 13th chapter of John and the washing of disciples' feet and his teaching them about being servants and knowing how to wash feet and do what he does and live like he lives. in the 23rd chapter of Matthew, when he's talking to them about what it means to be a servant. Let me read it for you. 23rd of Matthew. He's talking about how the Pharisees love the big places in the marketplace, the respectful greetings, the places of honor in the banquets. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Sounds like some churches. But listen to what he says in verse 8. Don't be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called leaders, for one is your leader, and that is Christ. But the greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. Oh my, 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 when I read again the washing of the feet of the disciples, when I read again the agony of Gethsemane, when Jesus finally gets it after three times of prayer and agony, where he's sweating blood. You can't mean that, Father. I'm to drink the cup and become the Passover lamb? Yes, but not like all other Passover lambs. This is going to be once and for all. That's why Calvary is the center of all human history. Everything that precedes it, everything that succeeds it, goes back to Calvary. It's at Calvary that God changes everything. When Jesus is crucified, dead and buried, he takes sin to its death and to hell itself. The only thing that can burn off of him is the sin of the world. And on that third day, he rises from the dead, and he appears to Mary. Can you imagine? She thinks it's somebody that just works in the garden. And then he does something that only she could respond to. He says to her, as only he could say it, Mary, don't touch me now. I've got to ascend to my God and your God, my Father and your Father. He has completed the sacrificial act that Gethsemane showed him. The agony of the scourging, the carrying of the cross, the crucifixion, his death. And in him we die, and we're baptized into his death. But we're also raised to life by his resurrection life when he pours out the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Dear brothers and sisters, he says, I want you to be a servant. I want you to serve like I've washed your feet. I want you to find in your culture, and this is my interpretation, in your culture, some feet to wash, somebody to serve, because he who is greatest among you is the servant of all. I notice in Matthew 23, right after he tells them that he gives the seven woes to the scribes and the Pharisees, the hypocrites, because they shut off the kingdom of God from men, and they don't enter themselves, nor do they allow those who are entering to go in. That's what religion has always done all the way down through history. Let us repent of that and come back to the foot washing of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Matthew also tells us at one time, you could have called 10,000 angels. Don't think they weren't waiting at the ramparts of heaven. But you didn't. Jesus bore it all. All to him we owe. Sin had had its horrible fulfillment. But Jesus Christ bore it all. The old gospel song, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had paid its price. Jesus paid it all, paid it all. I just pray that the Holy Spirit will take you through Gethsemane with Jesus through the foot washing with Jesus. And then at the in the middle of that 13th chapter, Jesus said, I've got another commandment to give you, and it's simple. I want you to love each other the way I've loved you. By this, all men will know you're my disciples. If the Lord of Lords, the Creator, can wash the feet of His creation, then we can find feet to wash in our culture. May the Holy Spirit help you see that and give you opportunity for the foot washing of 2018 and beyond. Perhaps today is a day when you can wash feet in our culture for the glory of God and Jesus Christ, where you can be a door to the kingdom of God. I pray that for you and for myself. And I bless you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
This podcast is available for free download in iTunes and at moanministriesbookstore.com.